And welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I'm your host, Gary Kester. Joining me today is, I'll go ahead and introduce Hani first, since Hani seems to be on here all the time with me now. Hani, it's been, what, whopping 2 days, man. How you been?
Yeah, man. Pretty good, pretty good. Having fun watching the Lakers lose by 20, 30, 40 points every night.
Yeah, you call it fun, I call it something completely different, but... also joining us today is Jacob Rude. Jacob, it's been a little while since you've been on the podcast. We've been avoiding you since Hani's jealous of your beard, so that's the reasoning behind that. How's it going, Jacob?
Going good. It's just a natural reaction most people have to my beard. I get those kind of envy, those eyes of envy anytime I walk around, so I'm used to it. It's okay.
I think mine's growing in pretty nicely around this area.
You turn just right, it might look kind of good.
You got to get the light shining on it. And... oh, man. Every podcast, we got to have some sort of beard talk. At least we don't have Harrison here to, like, admire himself on his own screen. All right, so let's get down to business here. The Lakers lost their 8th straight game, 114-91. To the Chicago Bulls, it was the first game that Kobe and Powell have played against each other since, I think, 2007. So it's been almost a full decade, which is crazy because Powell left the team 2 years ago and Kobe's obviously been hurt. But we're going to touch on the game very briefly because it was basically a blowout from the beginning. Jacob, I'll go ahead and throw it to you first. What are some of the good things that you took away from the game today?
Good things. The beginning, seeing Kobe and Powell hug.
Yes, that was amazing. That was yes.
The Julius Randle, obviously, looked really solid tonight. Finished with 14 points, 8 rebounds, and he used his right hand.
He's doing a little bit better job of that. The Portland game that I was at, I think it was still only the one time, but he had a pretty nice move, and he hit a right-handed jump hook, and I turned and looked at my best friend who I was at the game with, and we were just incredulous at the fact that he hit a right-handed jump hook, let alone a layup. So.
And the third thing is that Kobe didn't check back into the game in the fourth quarter of a blowout. Big positive.
And the fourth thing was probably that it ended, right?
Oh, well, naturally, yes. And that I didn't have to listen to Reggie Miller anymore tonight.
Oh, God. I admittedly missed the game, and I don't feel bad about it because Reggie Miller was calling it. I do love listening to Kevin Harlan, though, so kind of some give and take there. But, Hani, go ahead and, I mean, let's try and narrow it down so we don't have a two-hour podcast talking about all the bad things that happened tonight, but what were some of the negative things that happened?
Well, if it's a positive that the game ended, it was a major negative that the game even started. it's kind of the same thing where the Lakers just are slow to start the game with a bunch of terrible defense, and their offense was even more terrible than usual, more stagnant than usual to start. Yeah. So they were down, I believe, 17 after the first quarter, and after that, it was basically over.
Yeah, when I very first checked my phone, it was after the first quarter, and I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those games, I see. yeah, I mean, like you said, the Bulls outscored the Lakers 32-15 after the first, and after that, I mean, the Lakers didn't even win a single quarter. They lost the second by 1 point, and the third by 1 point, and then the fourth by 4 points, so never even really competed, made any kind of run, so it's one of those games, I guess, but... we mentioned Pau Gasol, first time playing against Kobe, and Jacob talked about just kind of the embrace that him and Kobe had for the game, and man, like, that just brought the biggest smile to my face, personally, because I did get to see that, and just, like, that's awesome, man. That's, like, one of probably my favorite Lakers duo that I've ever gotten to watch. I mean, Shaq and Kobe were great, but they were always, you know, bickering at each other and whatnot, and Kobe and Pau just always loved each other, so... Jacob, I'll throw it back to you. I mean, what were your thoughts? Not only seeing that, but I mean, go ahead and reflect on just kind of Pau's career with the Lakers, because I don't think we kind of really acknowledge it quite enough. I think a lot of Laker fans, me personally especially, kind of took those times for granted.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of like what you said, I mean, I watched Kobe and Shaq, but I was, you know, 9, 10, 11. I was pretty young at that time. Kobe and Powell, to me, it's that duo where I can remember so many moments with them. I agree. I think we did kind of take Powell for granted in those last kind of couple years he was there, especially under D'Antoni. He took a lot of abuse through the media, through the front office, through the fans. And a lot of people were asking for him to be traded and whatnot. It's kind of one of those be careful what you wish for, because, I mean, players like him are kind of once in a generation. I mean, he's probably at worst, you call him a top five passing big man ever, which is just beautiful. It was beautiful to watch. He had a alley-oop to, I think, Jimmy Butler tonight that kind of brought back memories of him throwing lobs to Kobe on kind of those backdoor cuts from him throwing the lob from the elbow there. And they were just such a fun duo. From literally the minute that Powell joined the team, they instantly became title contenders, three straight finals. I mean, I can't remember exactly what the run is they went on when they got him, but I mean, the whole kind of franchise, he was that missing piece. He was absolutely perfect for the triangle, and the whole franchise kind of turned around when he got here, and he took us to the next level. And I know we'll probably talk about it in a minute, but he's absolutely worthy of getting his jersey retired.
Yeah, he's, I mean, you couldn't have designed really a better second option to go with Kobe during, you know, Kobe's, the latter stages of his prime, really. I mean, the two were just so compatible, and the chemistry, I mean, couldn't have been any better, right, honey?
Yeah, for sure. I think what I kind of look at is, I hadn't really even started following basketball when the actual trades bring power happened, maybe like a year or two after is when I really started following basketball. But just the fact that I think you got the best out of not only Kobe, but the other guys on the team, like Andrew Bynum turned into one of the best centers in the league. Lamar Odom turned into the best sixth man in the league. I think he really got the best out of that, pretty much that entire Lakers roster. And I mean, if it's kind of cliche to say it, but if Kobe was the best player, Powell was the most important player on those teams.
Yeah, I mean, he was the X factor. He was the heart and soul. You know, those two championships don't happen without Powell Gasol, you know. So, I mean, just getting him was so crucial. And personally, I'll never forget where I was when I heard the news, because I remember I was in high school at the time, and I was a TA for a class, and I remember my dad texting me, like, just, and I could tell the excitement just in his text that, you know, it's like, the Lakers just got Powell Gasol, and my initial reaction was like, oh, great, like, that's awesome, but I was like, what did they give up? You know, I was thinking, like, they gave up Bynum or Odom.
Round.
And I went and looked at the deal, and I had to, like, excuse myself. I had to, like, go and walk out in the hall. I was so ecstatic. I was so pumped that they got him, because you knew right away that, like, we're a legitimate championship contender now. And, man, they couldn't have clicked any better right from the get-go. So, and it was unfortunate to see kind of how the last few years of Powell's tenor with the Lakers kind of ended with all the trade rumors and the abuse he got from fans and that sort of thing. Just like I said, I think a lot of us took him for granted because, I mean, as great as he is a basketball player, I think he's an even better person. You know, I mean, Powell's just such a likable guy, and you know, obviously his teammates everywhere he's gone have absolutely loved him. So,
one of my favorite YouTube clips is of Phil Jackson did an interview on PTI, and Tony Kornheiser asked him. He said, "What was your reaction when Mitch Kupchak came to you and said, we can get Pau Gasol for Kwame Brown?" And Phil kind of laughed. He said, "No, you can't." But you kind of mentioned Pau was like the perfect fit for Kobe. I mean, he was a perfect fit for the triangle as well. I mean,
yeah.
You couldn't dream up a better big man to have as or in that offense. I mean, he was able to do everything so well, and it as great as he was, I think the triangle kind of helped his strengths, showed his strengths more, and kind of accentuated them. Is what I was looking for. He, his passing, he was able to spread the ball around. He got space to kind of work and post up, and it was so much fun to watch. I mean, I'll have times where I just go back and watch the 08 to 2010 teams right there with them running the triangle. It was just such beautiful basketball.
Yeah, I just hated how Powell was always the scapegoat, you know, especially in like that 2011 Mavs series. It wasn't a very good series for him, but like in 2008 as well against the Celtics, everybody thought he was too soft. And I'll never forget the following year when he had that dunk against the Magic and Petras fouled him intentionally, and Powell went and got right in his face. And it was like, from that moment, you just knew like Powell had changed, you know. And I just missed that guy. So, okay, Jacob, you mentioned you would retire Powell's jersey, no question. Hani, do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we just talked about him being probably the missing piece to two championships, so I don't think there's a question about it.
Yeah, and I mean, just with his you know, total career with, you know, the Grizzlies, the Lakers, the Bulls, his NBA career combined with his international career, you know, over in Spain, I would think he's a surefire Hall of Famer. And, you know, a lot of people are going to see him. I mean, I guess it depends on who you ask. Some people will see him as, you know, a Memphis Grizzly. A lot of people see him as a Laker because he got his titles with them. But, yeah, I agree. I think honestly, both the Grizzlies and the Lakers, you know, should be teams that retire his jersey. I don't think he'll get a statue, but definitely I would like to see number 16 hanging in the Raptors, hopefully in a couple of years. And on that note of statues, one of Kobe's other very talented big men is getting a statue outside the Staples Center. For those who haven't heard, Shaquille O'Neal, the Diesel, the Big Aristotle, whatever you want to call him, is getting his own statue outside of Staples Center, the team announced yesterday. And Hani, I'll throw this one to you. I mean, what was just your initial reaction when you heard?
I loved it. I saw the video of he actually got surprised on Jimmy Kimmel's show, where they showed him the rendering of the statue. And if you haven't watched that video, you have to go watch it, because that's one happy dude after he sees it. He's smiling and he's in shock that it's even happening. It's just amazing to see.
Yeah, I was so excited because I'm a huge Shaq fan. Like I grew up watching, you know, dominate for the Lakers, and I wish I would have been a little older watching, because I think I would have appreciated him even more. Jacob, I mean, when you heard the news or saw the video or whatever, I mean, what went through your mind?
I mean, a lot of the same things. I was up. I saw the tweets last night. It was probably one of the things that you knew was coming. But I mean, it's still fun to see. And I know Shaq has a reputation for being kind of a goofball. But kind of seeing him in that moment when Jimmy Kimmel like told him, like, yeah, we're serious, like, you're getting the statue, just to kind of see the look on his face, you know, it means a lot to him. And he, I mean, Hunter obviously just completely deserving of it. I mean, he was, for at least a year, probably a couple year stretch, I mean, the most dominant, not only big man, I'd say one of the most dominant players in NBA history. I mean, there was nothing you could do to stop him, and other than foul him. And it would get to points where refs just would stop calling fouls on him, and he was still absolutely just destroying teams. I mean, just look at his stats in those three finals that the Lakers won. I mean, there was nobody that could even come close to him during that time.
Well, I think one of the playoff runs, I mean, maybe even a couple playoff runs, he had, like, consecutive 40-20 games. I mean, just absolutely dominant. You could not stop him. Like you said, the only way you could stop him is by fouling him and just hoping he missed free throws, which, I mean, he wasn't a good free throw shooter, obviously, but it's like still, eventually, you know, you don't have enough bodies to just keep fouling him every time he touched it because you couldn't stop him from touching the basketball, you know, because, you know, everybody says that he's kind of like this brute force and, you know, he was so good because he was big and all that and big and strong, but, you know, he was so agile for how big he was, and he was a good passer, and he had good touch on his, you know, on his like his jump hooks and things like that, and he had good post moves, you know, like he was just a truly amazing player, and yeah, I mean, he's right up there with Wilt, you know, in terms of most dominant players to ever play the game, and it's I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. We talked about how Powell was such a great fit when he came over. Honestly, Shaq was such a perfect fit for just the city of Los Angeles. You know, his personality plus his talent, I mean, just perfect being a Laker, and, you know, resulted in three titles. So,
and I kind of mentioned the finals. I went and looked it up. The 2000 NBA Finals against the Pacers. Six games, he had 43, 40, 33, 36, 35, and 41 points. Averaged 38 points and 16 rebounds and 3 blocks in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, like we said, I mean, he was unstoppable. You know, I don't like to – I always feel like there's certain ways you can slow players down. Shaq, you were very hard-pressed to find a way. Like, there was really one way that everybody tried, but even that, you know, didn't do it. So, just crazy. But I'm extremely happy for him. I'm extremely excited. I was actually really stoked when they announced that, and I actually thought that Jimmy Kimmel might be playing a prank on him, too, initially. And, but no, I was very, very excited that Shaq's going to get a statue outside of Staples Center because, I mean, he deserves it. You know, I think a lot of people were a little bitter that he ended up on the Celtics later in his career. But, I mean, him on, like, his last leg playing for the Celtics doesn't outweigh everything that he did for this franchise, you know. So let it go. If that still bothers you, just let it go. Okay, so I guess that's enough reminiscing on old times, the good times. We'll get back to the current roster, current dumpster fire that is this
bad
season.
Bad times.
Yeah. And we'll talk about some trade chatter. The trade deadline is 3 weeks away, and we heard some D'Angelo Russell trade rumors earlier today. You know, we heard he was available in a trade in some trade talks, and then we heard that he wasn't. I mean, I'll throw this one to you first. Do you think there's any chance at all that D'Angelo Russell gets traded before the deadline?
Unless the Wolves are willing to straight up trade Karl Anthony Towns for him, then.
Jacob, do you think what percentage would you put on it?
Can I go less than zero?
Yeah, if you want.
The math checks
out. I will say I didn't see any D'Angelo Russell trade rumors. I saw D'Angelo Russell trade. I don't know if they're related or cousins or what.
I guarantee they get mixed up in practice. Byron's like, D'Angelo. And they both like turn and look. I'm like, what?
It's a misconception. They're actually State Farm twins.
Oh, man. Just, yeah, that's my plea to anybody on Twitter. Just spell the kid's name right, for God's sake. It is D'Angelo, not D-E. Oh, my God. That was so bad. Like, people that claim to be, like, reporters or, you know, some kind of media outlets, like, can't even spell the second pick in the NBA draft's name correctly.
And I mean, like, the first guy tweets it out, spells it wrong, everybody mocks him, and then, like, another reporter came in to, like, say, like, oh, I talked to several sources, and D'Angelo Russell is not on the trading block. I'm like, were you paying attention? Like, are you guys even trying right now?
Maybe they thought they'd get more retweets if it was like that.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. So D'Angelo Russell went from being on the trade block to not available in any trades at all in a matter of, like, 4 hours. So that was... welcome to the Lakers, D'Angelo.
I would say, I think some people mentioned this to actually address it for a second. I don't think the Lakers are shopping him. I think that, the general consensus is that, I mean, you can see how much value a player has. I mean, the Lakers might have just kind of thrown it out there, like, to the Pelicans, like, oh, you want to get rid of Anthony Davis? We'll headline it with D'Angelo Russell. I mean, something like that is what I'd imagine how it went.
Or like Russell Westbrook or something like
that. Yeah, that's probably a lot more realistic because he's going to be a free agent. But something like that, and the league source was like, oh, they're shopping D'Angelo Russell. I don't think they're in any way, shape, or form actively trying to trade D'Angelo Russell 4 months into his career.
I completely agree. It would be foolish, and it would be something that would be extremely difficult to sell to the fan base right now, and the fan base is already upset. Like, if you sided, obviously Byron and D'Angelo have had their issues this year, but if you side with the coach that the fan base wants gone, I mean, good luck. You know,
I don't know if I could stick around after that.
I mean, I would. I mean, I've been through worse. You know, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, so... I know what, like, the bottom of the barrel looks like. Just don't. Lakers, if you ever listen to this, just don't.
We'll check at them for this so that they can hear it.
I'm going to get a hold of Mitch Kupchak's email and just link this. Okay, so we'll go to a little more credible report today. Mark Stein, just a little bit ago, said that it's basically no secret that the Lakers are actually shopping some players, and it's actually their veteran players. He mentioned Lou Williams, Brandon Bass, and Roy Hibbert. I think that was...
And Nick Young.
Oh, and Nick Young. Okay, so, yeah, a bunch of their veteran players that they might be able to get a little bit of value. Nick Young probably won't get much. Hibbert, I couldn't see getting much either, but Bass or Lou Williams might get you something. What's your take on that? What do you think the Lakers can get anything of, like, really good value, or is it going to be just like a second round pick and a filler?
That's probably the most likely thing, a second round pick and a filler, which I think is fine value for some of those guys. Like Brandon Bass, I think a lot of teams would love to have him on their team. And I think a second-round pick for him, plus whatever contract they need to offload to make it work, I think is a really good deal that the Lakers should look to get, for example.
Yeah. And Jacob, you wrote a little bit about this in your last mailbag, right? Some trade options.
Yeah. The two I mentioned were Lou and Brandon Bass. I think those are the two that are most likely to be traded. Lou Williams, I believe it's $7 million a year this year and the next 2 years, which for what he does as a scorer, I mean, that's probably a bargain now, let alone, you know, next year when the cap's at $90 million and the next year when it's over $100 million. That's just going to be a ridiculously cheap contract. So I do think that they should move him. The other Bass, he is like $3 million deal, and he has a player option, so he's obviously going to kind of turn that down, most would imagine. So I would say if you're looking to trade somebody, he's probably priority number one because you want to get something out of him. And the Lakers they haven't made many in-season player trades for quite a while. I think their last one might have been trading Steve Blake. Got them Kent Bazemore, which turned out to be, I mean, that was a great trade, even though we let him go. But
yeah,
another story. But still, I mean, even for those at the time, I mean, he was kind of a filler, and he turned into something, I mean, great. So moving guys like Bass or Lou Williams for, I think you could, you may be able to get a first round pick, a late first round pick out of a contender for Lou Williams. I thought in that piece, I thought somebody like the Thunder might be interested in him to give them a score next to Russ and KD.
Yeah.
But I mean, somebody like that who's their first round pick's going to be, you know, late in the first round anyway. It's almost a second round pick.
Yeah.
So I think those two are the two that you're going to look to get assets for. Roy Hibbert, you're probably just moving to open up playing time for Tarik Black and Larry Nance, or probably Robert Sacre with how Byron does things.
I was going to say, Tarik Black playing time? No way.
Nick Young, you're basically just looking for salary relief, so yeah. I wouldn't expect anything back for that. But I the other problem is the Lakers have such a history of not making trades. They didn't trade Jordan Hill last year when everybody knew that he was on a really tradable contract and he was going to turn down the player option and that he was, or the team option or however it went, and that, I mean, it was just a foregone conclusion he was going to be a free agent, and they just hung on to him. Same with Pau Gasol. I mean, people pretty much knew that he wasn't going to come back because of how he'd been treated, and they hung on to him and lost him for nothing. So, I mean, I really hope that we're kind of past that, but their track record isn't great.
Yeah, at least with, I mean, Lou, like, he is under contract for 2 years after this one. And Bass, if you lose Bass, it's not a huge deal. Like, if you lose him for nothing, obviously you want to get something for him if you're going to lose him. But yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Steve Blake trade. I kind of almost completely forgot about that for a little while. Like, that's the type of trade that they should be looking for one of these veteran guys. Because in that deal, I mean, you mentioned they got Kent Bazemore, and the other player, I think, was Marshawn Brooks.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's kind of along the lines of what you'd be looking for. You'd be trading a veteran to a playoff team, who the Warriors were at the time, for, like, two young guys that could grow into, you know, nice players. And Kent Bazemore did, but for whatever reason, the Lakers didn't want to bring him back on a cheap deal. So
they didn't even give him a qualifying offer.
Yeah. I know. I mean,
I won't dive into that because that one is just, I don't even think.
I could do a whole podcast on how stupid that was to let him
go. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, but that, I mean, that's basically the point, though, is that you'd try and get, like, two young guys that could grow into, you know, good players on cheap deals. So, I mean, maybe they can swing something like that, but as you mentioned, Jacob, they really haven't done that much the past couple years besides that trade. So, I mean, we'll see. We've got 3 weeks. I mean, there's going to be a new rumor probably every single day. So, you know,
I think more than get what they get back is kind of what they open up, which is more playing time for the young guys, especially, I mean, that's two positions that the Lou Williams and Brandon Bass are taking minutes directly from young players that need them. I mean, if Lou's traded, you would imagine D'Angelo would probably start again. And if Bass is traded, that's more minutes for Larry Nance, Randall, maybe Tarik Black. So I think that would be the most important thing about moving those guys is giving more minutes to the young players.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, who knows? We got, like, 3 weeks. I feel like it's going to fly by. But, man, in terms of, like, all the rumors and stuff that are going to be flown out there, it's going to take forever, I think, to get by. So, okay, so I feel like we could go on and on about trade speculation and throw out trade ideas. That's what the NBA trade machine is for, right? So let's look at some of the questions. And, of course, the first one I'm seeing is, does Byron hate Russell? it kind of seems like that, so we'll just leave that question alone. Somebody mentioned, Mike Garcia says, crazy thought, if the Lakers land top three, trade it for Miles Turner. That would be interesting. What would you guys think about that?
I think you could get more for the third pick, couldn't you? I don't think Miles Turner, I mean, he's been playing well recently, and I haven't really watched him play that much, so I don't know for sure, but I don't think you need to give a third overall pick for him.
Yeah.
I would say that I would probably do that deal, honestly, if it's not if it's the third pick. Turner's playing really well. He fits a need. He can play center, and he can play, he can stretch the floor as well.
Yeah, he's a decent shooter for a big man.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is that this draft isn't very good. I mean, outside of Simmons and Ingram, there's a pretty big drop-off, and I kind of talked to him after that, but I would say, I mean, in this draft, I would put Turner probably third over guys like LeBissiere and Brown and Poyle and guys like that, Chris Dunn. So, I mean, I would do it if it was a number three pick. I don't think the Pacers would do it, though, but...
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If it's top two, I probably wouldn't, but the third pick, I would, but at the same time, I don't think Indiana would. You know, I was really high on Miles Turner in last year's draft, but yeah, I don't... Like, it's a good idea. That's a pretty creative thought, but yeah, I don't see any way that probably would get done. I mean, the Lakers would have to make the pick first, which I guess if they worked out a deal, they'd make the pick for the Pacers and then just swap, but yeah, I don't... Probably not a very good chance of that happening. So, okay, next question. How long do you guys think this losing streak will last? They're at 8 games now. I mean, when do you think the Lakers get their next win?
Never.
Next season.
They'll win at the draft lottery.
If you just jinxed us, Jacob, you are never coming on this podcast.
Knock on wood, wood. Knocking on all the wood around me. I'm looking at the schedule. Their next game is Friday against the, or tonight against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. It'll be a loss. Oh, Sunday they host Charlotte. Great, but then Tuesday they host the Timberwolves.
Yeah, that's the game I'm looking at right now.
If they don't win that game, though, it's at New Orleans, at San Antonio, at Indiana, at Cleveland, versus San Antonio, at Chicago, at Milwaukee, back-to-back against Memphis. Not until March 1st when we host Brooklyn would I say there's a winnable game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and... I mean, the Lakers have already lost 12 out of 13, so, yeah. If they don't get one of those two against Charlotte or Minnesota, man. Long losing streak.
They could go an entire month without winning. Oh, my God.
2015-16 Los Angeles Lakers. Oh,
I mean, at this rate, they'll be lucky to get 15 wins, which is absurd, because I think most people thought the Lakers were going to win at least like 25 to 30 games this year, and if they don't get even 15, I mean, you've got to get rid of the coach at that point, right?
I don't want to dream of a world where Byron Scott is the coach next year. Yes, I will say they have to get rid of the coach. I can't remember who it came from, but there was a... I think John Ireland maybe this morning said that, like, if it was up to Mitch, Byron would be here next year.
Oh, God.
I chose to ignore that and think, no, that's not actually what he thinks. We're just going to...
It's like, no.
We'll address that heartache when the season is over and the Lakers...
When you just put your fingers in your ears and you're just like, la, 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 la. Like, you're just like, I'm not going to hear that. Oh, God.
That way they call it La La Land?
Probably. Okay, next question is, I think that Byron and Jim Buss need to let go now. Do you guys agree?
Byron?
Yeah.
Jim Buss needs to let go of Byron. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then that would make sense. Yes, I mean, we should have let go of Byron, like, 6 months ago, so yeah.
Should have let go of Byron before he got hired.
Yeah. It was bad from the get. Should have let him go during one of the first 5 interviews he took, so yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll just touch on the Jim Buss thing real quick. I mean, I've defended Jim Buss quite a bit the past couple of years because I think he gets a bad rap, you know, for everything, really. He's kind of the scapegoat for everything that's bad, and you can't just blame everything on him. You know, that front office has a lot of moving parts, and you can't just praise Mitch Kupchak when things go right and then blame Jim Buss when things go wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group effort, you know. It's just like, you know, the whole, like, we win as a team, we lose as a team, whatever. Same goes for the front office, you know. It's not just Jim Buss overruling everything, you know. He's more like a, from what everything I've read is that Kupchak is the one that makes most of the decisions and Buss kind of signs off on them. You know, he kind of reviews them, but Kupchak's the one kind of initiating things, so.
And that's what he's supposed to do. I mean, he's a general manager. That's why you hire him.
Yeah.
Otherwise you'd have somebody like Jerry Jones running the team, and that'd be awful.
Oh, God. Keep Jerry Jones playing.
No,
oh, God. We've got a Cowboy fan in here. I forgot about that.
Hey, man, they've drafted pretty well, too. Just saying.
The Lakers should just draft like the Cowboys and draft a bunch of offensive linemen for a few.
Probably.
And then they can set great screens for D'Angelo Russell.
And then they can let Kobe play until he's 40 and break a collarbone every single year.
An offensive lineman would probably rebound better than Roy Hibbert. So I'm
okay. All right. okay. Next question is: do you have any tips on watching these games without turning into an alcoholic? I'm not a good person to ask this because, like, honestly, I watch the Laker games and I'm actually pretty even keeled about it all. And that probably thanks to the Titans the past few years have kind of prepared me for this crap. But yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have any tips, any pointers?
I mean, I don't drink, so that helps.
yeah, but just never start drinking.
But, like, tweeting or reading my tweets during the games is probably a really good idea, or it will make you want to drink more. I don't know.
That was a shameless plug if I ever heard of it. I'm probably in the same boat as Gary because I have watched the Vikings for, you know, 10, 15 years, however long it's been. So I'm used to seeing terrible things, so...
I genuinely, like, I don't usually feel bad for other fan bases, but I genuinely felt like terrible for Vikings fans the way that, like, the season ended this year. Like, that hurt me, and I don't care at all about the Vikings. Like, I do dislike the Seahawks, though. I was pulling for Minnesota, so maybe that's why it hurt a little bit more, but, oh, man.
Yeah, there was much alcohol consumed after that game. I'll just say that.
Oh yeah,
it was a rough night.
Oh man, let's move on to less depressing things about our.
What's in that cup, Jacob?
Okay, so the last question comes from Grant Goldberg, who ate some potatoes tonight, and thanked me for it. You're welcome, Grant. he asked which player, and we kind of talked about this, so I guess we'll just keep this a pretty short answer since we talked quite a bit about it. Which player that's available for trade would warrant the biggest return? Hani, go ahead.
I'll go out of those, let's say those four guys that we talked about earlier. I'd probably say Brandon Bass. I think he fits really well with pretty much every team, and every contender could use him. So I think a lot of teams would be willing to give up decent returns for him.
Yeah. Jacob, do you agree or disagree?
I would actually say probably Lou Williams because I think he is on a bargain contract that I kind of mentioned. The contract's only going to get better as the cap goes up. It's only going to become more of a bargain. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he has a skill set that is always going to be, like, desired in the league. And, I mean, it's not like he's Nick Young out there where he can only – shoot threes, and he draws fouls at a wizardry rate, and that's not going to go away. So,
yeah,
I think Lou Williams probably would net us the biggest return.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn right in the middle, in all honesty. Like, I think I can see both getting decent value because, I mean, Bass, as bad as he was to start the year playing out of position, if you play him at power forward, you know, he has value still. I mean, he's, you know, constant energy, rebound, like, plays solid defense, you know, considering the Lakers don't have, like, defense around him. But Lou, you know, Lou is a sixth man I still think is very valuable. I just don't think starting him, I just don't think you're getting the most out of him. So, but yeah, maybe both could get some good value there.
Still astonishing how little Bass and Hibbert have played together this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't until like 35 games into the season or something that they even played together for the first time, and it was only because of foul trouble. And because Byron doesn't think Tark Black exists, that he got in. But, I mean, he's – Byron, for whatever reason, thinks he's like a small ball center or something. And but, I mean, as a power forward, and even as a center on the Lakers, he showed some stuff that make him more valuable. I go back to it a lot, but, I mean, I remember that Kings game where he was – really locking down DeMarcus Cousins in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. This might give up a ton of size. So,
I mean, he's shown some things that I don't know why a contender wouldn't want him. And in the piece I wrote, I said somebody like the Raptors could come in for him. Somebody like that would make a lot of sense. A team that thinks, I mean, they're starting Luis Scola as their power forward right now, and Bass is a pretty clear upgrade of that, so.
Freaking Luis Scola. God, I hate that guy.
Scola shoots threes now, though, so he actually kind of fits well with them.
Dude, if I went to a Raptors game, I would have a cardboard cutout of Derek Fisher ready for Scola.
I was going to say, shout out to Derek Fisher for Luis Scola and doing what so many people want to do.
Oh, yeah. No, but to touch on your point about Bass, yeah, like, if you have the right personnel around him, I think he could be a really valuable, like, guy off the bench. You know, like, I mean, he struggled, but maybe that was because he struggled early because maybe, you know, he's playing with Ryan Kelly, you know? And I think him playing with, like, Tarik Black, and we've seen him with Julius Randle, maybe Larry Nance, like, those could be some fun lineups that, you know, like, good athleticism, rebounding, you know, stuff like that. So you just put the right pieces around him then. No, I think he'd be pretty good, but
he may even be able to play as a small ball center somewhere where there isn't such terrible perimeter defense.
That's true.
Have, so
that is true. So, all right, that's gonna do it for questions. Let's try and end this podcast on a positive note. We're gonna do our lottery simulation using Tankathon.com. For those of you Laker fans that are already looking ahead to the draft lottery, Tankathon.com is definitely the site to check. They've got a lottery simulator, mock drafts for not only the NBA but the NFL, NHL. Yeah,
ooh,
those are
the two. They were at the Lakers game tonight. I believe they tweeted that they were there.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah.
They were supporting the tank tonight.
Tankathon, the tank travels well, apparently. So, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen now. Make sure I do this right. There we go. All right. Can you guys both see everything?
Uh-huh.
All right. So you can see kind of the big board here, the 14 lottery teams. So Lakers still in second, only a game and a half behind Philly, but two in the win column. Lost eight in a row, which is good for this sort of thing. So
that number can get real big real quick.
Yeah. Here we go. Boom, number one. All right, so
bring me back every podcast now.
Sources confirm that Jacob will be on every podcast for the rest.
Win 10 for Ben.
So for those that are listening to this on iTunes and not on YouTube, Lakers ended up with the top pick. Minnesota jumped to number two, so they'd be getting probably Ingram or Simmons, which is scary. And then the Celtics, by virtue of the Brooklyn Nets being terrible at running a franchise, would get the third pick. And four Sixers would drop all the way to fourth. All right. So yeah, that's gonna do it for us. Talked about a lot today. That was fun though. That was fun. We talked about a lot of good times, so that put me in a good mood. And yeah, the Lakers play the Clippers tomorrow night at 8:30 in what's considered a air quotes road game. I guess the last Clipper road game, does that count as a farewell game for Kobe?
Oh, weird.
That's kind of weird. Like,
I want to see not, because Kobe wants to play in all the farewell games, and at that point, I probably don't want to see him play. So
yeah, like Kobe, you can sit that one out, dude. Like those fans have a chance to come see you again, probably. So
at this rate, though, it might be the last game he plays at Staples. I'm kidding.
Okay. Yeah, you're definitely like banned from the podcast with that. Actually, Hani is 2-1 with the
Lakers. Yeah, man, it's way better winning percentage than the Lakers.
All right, so yeah, that's gonna do it for us. Thanks to everybody that sent us questions. Thanks to those that were following along. This is actually one of our bigger live audiences, so we appreciate that. As always, I mean, you can subscribe to us on YouTube. We're just Lakers Outsiders. And you can follow us, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes as well. Just search Lakers Outsiders and you'll find us. We usually try and have all the podcasts up either the night of or the very next morning. So, Jacob, Hani, it's been fun. Thanks for joining me tonight. And we'll see you guys hopefully here in the next couple days or so.